I'm Joe Chio, Fox News Radio.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Testing one, two, three. Is this a real radio show?
I don't know. I can't hear myself.
Hey, Melissa Sargent. Good morning. Jackson here in the closet with you. Talking history as we always do in El Paso. And the thing about El Paso, you talk about the history because it's here.
It's
a big darn deal here. And people don't know that because they don't teach it in the schools. And that's why we come to School 101 Saturday mornings to hear the history of El Paso.
That's right.
And I actually get a kick out of this because I was one of those people as a kid. I grew up here, didn't have any idea what went on here. And I left town, came back, and said, okay, look, let's check this out. Turns out there's a lot of neat stuff that went on in El Paso.
Never-ending.
Well, way beyond normal cities anywhere in the country.
That's right.
We had the railroads come through and sort of establish the town, but it was already rocking before they got here.
Oh, God,
so there's a lot to talk about today. We're going to get into Fort Bliss and history there, but we got to also tell people that you can find us AM 690. That's probably where you're finding most of us.
But then you can always take us everywhere you go, or if you've moved away from El Paso and you still want to stay in touch with El Paso and learn more about our history, even if you're not from here, like myself and my husband, you can go to KTSMradio.com, and you can click on Listen Live or get the iHeartRadio.com app, and you can take us on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, and listen to us anywhere in the world you can get an internet signal.
Here's one phenomenon that has occurred, and that would be on Facebook, and people like, you know, all over the planet look at Facebook and, well, let's go check out El Paso, see if anybody's doing it, and they find... Usually they find Barbara Given Bainey's site, Remember in El Paso When? And then that kind of leads over to us. And she's got the archive site for El Paso history pictures.
She's over 30,000 now, isn't she?
Well, the members, way up there. Yeah. But that's
the pictures.
Pictures are, that's the place to go.
Remember in El Paso. And then it leads to other sites that are doing this. You know, like the History Alliance has got thousands of pictures. And it just goes on and on and on and on. So you can stay on for hours, unfortunately.
Well, it took me days. I actually tried to get to the back end of all of the pictures and Remember in El Paso When once. And frankly, I did not have anything success. It took me days, and I realized, well, I'm never going to get to the bottom of this. So you go back and just search what you want.
Yeah.
All right, enough of all this. We got trivia going on today, right?
Yes, we do. Trivia on the mind. And that's for $20 in food coupons from Pepe's and Canutillo for, of course, the first hour, or an El Paso Gold DVD. And we've got Ghost Stories 2, 3, and 4. We've got Women's Club of El Paso, El Paso Gold Legends of the Mountains, Mexican Revolution sites, McGoffin Home. Let's see, we've got Waco Tanks.
Waco's in
Tapestry.
There, good.
Yes, Waco's really good.
Rosa's Tapestry.
Rosa's Tapestry is really good. The Smelter and Tom Lee's El Paso. Those are all really good DVDs.
That's a biggie. Tom Lee was very good about knowing El Paso. So,
and we'll have those for both hours. So
yes, we will. And Pepe's certificate. Also, just to let you know, thank you to Randy Limbert at the El Paso Scene. He keeps talking about us, so we keep talking about him. That's a place to go for Preservation Month. He's got all the Preservation Month of May things listed at the El Paso Scene online, also in his paper. And then one more thing. Hey.
Hey.
To Ray Baca.
Hey.
No. Hey.
Hey, Ray.
No, you're supposed to be hey.
Okay. Hey, Ray.
Hey, there you go. He's Monterey Assets sponsor.
Yeah, he's Monterey a good guy.
Well, he showed up in the commercial. I thought he was done with that commercial.
No, I saw it the other day.
He keeps showing up.
Picking up his dry cleaning.
He keeps, thank you very much. You did a great job. And he walks up, but I never saw him pay.
Yeah, but
you notice that?
It's got a woman's dress in there.
Okay, Ray, we're talking. Okay, Ray. We're done with Ray. Boy, howdy.
Ray.
Oh.
He's going to run over me next time he sees me in the street.
He may be done with us. Okay, let's get to the real world here of El Paso history. And one of the things we talk about all the time is sort of a main piece of our puzzle of how we got here, who we are. And it sort of sets the tone for maybe a third of the city physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a place known as Fort Bliss.
Yes.
It's huge. It's big. It's got stuff going on. And it's got history.
Yes.
That goes way back. And
oh my gosh.
The question is, does it predate El Paso?
I think it does.
We'll find out today because we got the guy. In fact, he's writing the book on the history of Fort Bliss. His name is John Hamilton. John, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Welcome here.
Thank you.
Well, you're the Fort Bliss guy I think of when I think of Fort Bliss history because now you wear it. You are the museum director of two museums, right?
I am. It is one. It is two museums under one roof. Yes,
well,
sir.
Tell us, what does that mean?
Well, we have the history of Fort Bliss, Texas, which goes back to at some point, and which I will not reveal.
Oh, go ahead, say it.
No. We will reserve that because that may be a trivia question.
Well, see, the thing is, if we don't talk about it, they can't get it.
Yeah, that's, we need to.
All right.
We need to prime the pump.
Now, there's a plaque. Okay.
Well, I'll give a clue. Before Fort Bliss existed, before the post existed. There was the Battle of Rosito, which occurred in 1846 at Christmas time, which
U.S. Army. It was U.S. Army.
It was the United States Army. It was the Doniphan Expedition, the Missouri Volunteers, with Alexander Doniphan as their commander, who was on Christmas Day enjoying a game of chance with his officers when he was interrupted by the Mexican forces that had come up from the south,
and they were playing a game of chance. It sounds like,
and they were. There was some shooting. There was a battle that occurred at Brazito, and we're not quite sure today, even today, where Brazito actually was fought, because obviously that terrain is much changed from over the years, from where...
Next to the river somewhere, right?
It was next to the Rio Grande River, yes.
Okay, that makes change quick.
And then as a result of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which ended the Mexican-American War, the Army had to establish some posts in this part of the country, so they did. So Fort Bliss traces its origins back to the order that was given to establish the post here. And it was referred to as the post opposite El Paso. El Paso being El Paso del Norte, which
the Mexicans
was across the river.
Right. Yeah, that Mexican
right.
place. Yep.
And so we trace that history in the museum all the way up until the present time. And then we also have the 1st Armored Division on Fort Bliss, which arrived and planted its flag on Fort Bliss in 2011. And before then, the Army created essentially brigade combat teams almost out of whole cloth out on Fort Bliss, which were created, organized, sent to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and eventually became the brigade combat teams for the 1st Armored Division. So we have all of that history for the 1st Armored Division tracing back to 1940, when the division was organized at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and sent to fight in World War II.
You got the division, and you got the museum.
Yes.
It came with you.
Wow.
Yes.
It came with it.
And the thing about the 1st Armored Division Museum is we have, obviously, this is America's only existing Armored Division headquarters, so we have to show what that means, which means tanks. So in the museum, outside the museum, our artifact collection includes major main battle tanks, which weigh upwards of 40 tons and more.
You don't park those just anywhere.
They are, I think it is fair to say that they are a bit unwieldy to move around.
Oh, yeah, hey, a new guy comes in. He says, let's change some exhibits around. Oh, really?
Yes. It
park them over there.
It takes some thought.
No, move them. I don't want them there. Move them a little more that way. No.
Little. Well, now, you say that, and that's exactly what we have done.
Yes, they have.
And you got
move it a little more. Nope, a little more.
You got 50 guys out there with machines and pulleys or whatever they do.
We have had the able assistance of the Sustainment Brigade and the 377th Transportation Company, which is equipped with heavy equipment transporters, which when they move these things around actually benefit with some training experience. These tanks don't run. I mean, from the outside, they all look very good. On the inside, not so much.
They don't start up.
They won't. You can't create, and some of them don't have engines. So
well, there's a problem.
There is a challenge.
But do any of them have bullets? Shells? No.
Well, no, we don't have.
No.
You would hope that we don't have live ammunition in the museum.
No.
That's the expectation.
Yes. But we've had EOD folks out to look at some of our stuff and say, "Yep, nope, it's not live."
Yeah,
so,
we don't want that on hand.
Don't do that.
Yes. I want to go back really quickly to the beginning, because we were talking about the beginning, because that was, what, 1848 when the order was given for the, you call it the fort?
The post opposite
El Paso, del Norte.
But
now when Fort Bliss came, who was Fort Bliss? Now, Fort Bliss was named for who?
It is an interesting story. We believe that Fort Bliss was named for Lieutenant Colonel William Wallace Smith Bliss, also known as Perfect Bliss.
Why?
Who was a West Point graduate. He was a math prodigy.
He
was so good at mathematics, which I can't claim to be, that the academy kept him on for a while to teach math to the undergrads.
I never heard Perfect. Cadets. Perfect.
So he was Perfect Bliss. He was... he was an infantry officer, which I claim to be as well, and he was assigned to be the adjutant general, chief of staff, if you will, to General Zachary Taylor in the Mexican-American War.
General at the time.
And acquitted himself. Now, Bliss was a major. He was breveted to lieutenant colonel because in those days, there weren't a whole lot of awards for gallantry. There were brevets. You would get a brevet promotion to the next higher grade, and you may or may not have been paid for that.
Brevet. What does that word mean, brevet?
It's like a temporary promotion. It's like an honorary promotion, if you will. And so he was with General Taylor. General Taylor obviously benefited from his experience in Mexico, old rough and ready. And was elected president a few years later, and he pulled Bliss up to be his personal secretary. And it also probably helps that Bliss was married to Taylor's youngest daughter.
When did that happen? Way back in the war?
Well, no, it happened, I think, subsequent to the war, after the war. And of course, his association with General Taylor, obviously, you meet the daughters, and the youngest catches your eye.
And you act nice, and it works out.
And that works out very nicely.
I see.
And, of course, Taylor died in office very, very soon after taking over as president. And Bliss was assigned to command the Southern Department of the United States, based out of New Orleans. And in 1853 or so, he passed away from yellow fever.
Right.
In those days in the South, you could get malaria, yellow fever, all manner of these things, mosquito-borne diseases. And he was buried in Pascagoula, Mississippi. I'm sorry, he was buried in New Orleans. He passed away in Pascagoula. And ultimately, by 1955, it was deemed time to move his remains here, probably because they were going to run a highway through
through the cemetery.
Oh, now there's a problem.
I did a history moment on him,
But in 1853, 1854, the post which was here and was moved north to Old Mesilla to Fort Fillmore, Millard Fillmore, the post was returned to Fort Bliss and established here.
When?
And in 1853.
Okay.
And in 1854, the Army named the post Fort Bliss, which we presume to be after William Wallace Smith Bliss.
There's no guarantee that's it?
He's the only Bliss that was around then.
But there's no notice, no letter in the file?
I haven't found anything.
So it could have been this guy.
We're pretty sure it was.
Oh, John. You know, John Hamilton's here telling stories about Fort Bliss.
They seem to do that a lot with people that would pass away or of high ranking or had honors in the military. They would name places, ships, forts. Were always named for somebody that had been high-ranking or well-known.
Oh, yes. So in 1955, his remains were moved here, and they now rest safely and quietly in the Fort Bliss National Cemetery.
All right, let's do this. We're going to take a break.
So now he's here.
He is here.
He never worked here as a soldier.
Never made it here when he was alive.
He was never stationed here when he was alive.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take a minute before we do a break here. Give us the five locations where Fort Bliss is located. You're going to call the post office at El Paso 1.
That's number one.
Okay. And that was where? That was at San Jacinto Plaza.
It was roughly close to San Jacinto Plaza.
Well, that's where the marker
is. Yes.
Okay. That's where the marker is, okay?
Yes, and we think it was right around there.
Okay.
And the next location, after it moved back here in 1853, was at McGoffinsville, pretty close to McGoffin and Willow Streets today is where it was. And there's there is a marker there.
Yes.
And it was there through the Civil War and was in Confederate hands. And after the Civil War, it existed there, although not in great condition, until it was washed away in 1868.
Big flood.
By the Rio Grande.
There you go.
And then in 1868, the post was moved to Camp Concordia, which was the old part of the old Stevenson Ranch, which is very close to Concordia Cemetery. If you go down underneath
the
Highway 54 I-10 junction.
Yeah, there's a marker there.
There's a marker there, and so it was there. It was closed in 1877, open in 1878 after the Salt War.
That was a Salt War problem, they said. Get the soldiers back in here.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was actually in buildings that were rented downtown around San Jacinto Plaza.
Okay.
And it was there for a while, but not very long, until the Army leased more land out next to the old Hart's Mill location, which the Army put up the post there. And it was there from 1878 till about 1893.
Good location, great water, right location, on transportation.
Wait
a minute. But.
In 1881, the railroads came.
Right through the parade ground.
Yes. So that sort of interrupted the formations there with the trains going back and forth.
Uh-huh.
So the Army was set to close it and move up north, possibly to Radium Springs, to Old Fort Selden. And the locals in El Paso said, no. We want to keep the post here. We think it's important to keep the post here. This was a time when the Army was consolidating all of the old frontier posts into larger posts.
And on a map, you could just flick that off and not care when you're sitting in Washington.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Army was amenable to that. The locals offered 600 acres and a well on La Noria Mesa, and the Army agreed to that as long as they upped the ante to 1,000 acres. And you sort of get the impression that the city fathers were getting a little impatient with the Army when they kept coming back for more and more gruel. You know, let's do a little more. So in 1893, the post was moved up on La Noria Mesa, where it sits today.
It has water up there.
And it has water up there.
Which
it
you wouldn't has, think by looking in the middle of the desert that yes. at a mesa.
Yes.
And the, it's going to have water.
And the old steam pump house is still on Slater Road. It is occupied now mm-hmm. by Dentac. And that sits next to the old water tower,
yeah.
which is where it is.
How deep was that well? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
You weren't prepared for that question.
No, that one is a little beyond the pale.
It would have had to have been pretty deep, I would imagine, up that.
Well,
area.
There is the Bolson. There is
yeah.
the
oh, yeah.
There is the aquifer.
Well, that's
there.
The point. There's a lot of water sitting under El Paso that you don't know by looking at El Paso,
and there's still water there.
And they figured it out.
Yes,
so
sir.
As you go, okay, we're taking right a break up. Here with John Hamilton in the house talking Fort Bliss history. And guess what the trivia questions are about?
I have no idea.
Okay,
oh,
give
yes,
away
I do.
Some DVDs here. Give away some DVDs here.
$20 in food certificates to Pepe's and Can You Teal, or a El Paso Gold DVD. And
by the way, we've got John for 2 hours, so
yes,
we're going
to
get.
We
want to get.
We get
this,
to torture him.
Well,
for
I want to get
hours.
This location thing done because people think that's it. Yeah. No, now we're going to go back and explain all that.
That's right.
So, but the trivia being what it is,
what year was the first U.S. easy for me
three,
to say.
Two, one,
what,
go.
What year was the first U.S. military fort established in El Paso?
What year? The first military fort?
Yes, exactly. When was the military, they signed
should
the contract and said it was going to be established.
Should we give them a clue? No, we already did.
We did.
Yeah.
If you were listening, and if not, you're going to stay after school again.
Okay, but.
We've talked about that several times
in
the show.
But it wasn't named Fort Bliss. How
no,
about that
it wasn't.
For a clue? Ha ha. So there. What? Call us up. Win the prizes.
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
It's Mother's Day Appreciation Weekend at Crawford Buick GMC. We got flowers, mariachis, and fun surprises for all our wonderful moms in El Paso. Plus free pony rides for the kids. And Crawford has drastically reduced the prices on new Buick and GMC cars, trucks, and SUVs just for you. Like a 2017 GMC Professional Grade Acadia Denali for a huge $6,869 in total savings. Mothers, dads, daughters, and sons, if you didn't buy from Crawford, you paid too much. Mother's Day Appreciation Weekend at Crawford Buick GMC. CrawfordBuickGMC.com, Montana at Airway.
Hi, I'm Mark Israel, owner of Donut Plant. I used 80,000 points for my Chase Inc. business card to make the latest food craze, the Ripple Donut. Now it's making headlines. NYC's best, raves the New York Post. Donut Plant has outdone itself, says Spoon University. And Grub Street says it will light up your Instagram.
What will you create with your points? Visit chase.com/ink to learn more about Ink Business Preferred. Chase for business, so you can.
Real business owner compensated for use of his actual statements. Credit cards are issued by Chase Bank USA NA. Restrictions and limitations apply.
I'm beginning to believe that other than love and religion, nothing changes your life more than moving your credit score 120 points. I'm John Hope Bryant, founder, chairman, and CEO of Operation Hope, and we're working to expand and lift up your credit scores. Operation Hope is partnering with major financial institutions to bring hope inside to places where you shop and flock. Through the Hope 700 Credit Score Communities Initiative, we are helping people with free counseling, loan originations, modifications, and more. Go to OperationHope.org today.
Do you spend your nights going to the bathroom instead of sleeping? Can't sit through a movie or have trouble peeing? If so, you may be one of the 50% of adult men suffering from an enlarged prostate. If you suffer from a weak stream, frequent urgency, discomfort during urination, or even a diminished sex drive, then listen to this. There's now a major breakthrough to help get these problems under control. Prosvent is a doctor-formulated blend of natural herbs and nutrients specifically designed to help promote the health of your prostate. It's so effective, relief is guaranteed within 30 days.
This is wonderful stuff. Remarkable stuff. I wish someone had told me about it sooner.
To get a free bottle of Prosvent with your order, call 800-480-3869 or go to yourfreebottle.com and enter iHeart at checkout. Remember, call 800-480-3869 or go to yourfreebottle.com. That's 800-480-3869. Supplies are limited, so call 800-480-3869 now.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, we're on the radio again talking about stuff, Fort Bliss history, Fort Bliss trivia questions, and stuff going on in El Paso. But we should let you know about the Southern Pacific Railroad crowd. They're always active, and they're active very much right now. They got programs and exhibits remembering the Southern Pacific Railroad. That's our wonderful people at the El Paso Railroad History crowd. And it's what it is the Railroad and Transportation Museum. They've got today a lecture at 2 o'clock. Anna Fahey, she's talking cultural. She is the cultural historian professor. She's going to speak about the Chinese culture and the business enterprises across the West. And it's at the Maud Sullivan Gallery, the main library downtown. It's free. That's at North Oregon Street. And she is talking about the Chinese folks that built the railroad. So Railroad History Exhibit is up now, up through June the 11th. Art and Photography of the Classic American Locomotives used by SP Railroad. And that's down there at the main library. What a coincidence. 501 North Oregon. And it's currently curated by the Railroad Transportation Museum of El Paso, supported by the library. Call them up, 240-8384. And tomorrow, Sunday, the 14th of May, films on historic trains in Southern Pacific Railroad history. The Auditorium, main library, downtown, 501 Oregon Street. And a walking tour next week of the historic Southern Pacific Railroad sites. Prince McKenzie, ring them up, 240-8384.
Okay, today, at 1 o'clock, you can take a tour of the Trost Firehouses. You've got Professor Max Grossman and Margaret Smith, who is the grandniece of Henry C. Trost, They're going to be giving a tour of three fire stations that were designed by Gustavus Trost, and the tour includes fire stations 3, 11, and 10.
Oh, wait a minute. They revised that late last night.
Oh, well then, clue me in.
I'm sorry. I didn't get you the new one. There's only two fire stations,
oh,
and it's free. You can't charge to go in a fire station.
Okay, well, what are they?
I've actually got that somewhere here.
Okay, well, let's do this.
Call them the phone number.
What we'll do is, okay, well, they're giving these tours today at 1 p.m. And
you read something I didn't think you were going to read.
Yeah, you just threw me off. Okay.
Well, you threw me off. It's fire station number 3 is where they need to meet.
Okay, they're going to meet. All right, at 1 p.m., meet at fire station number 3, which is at 721 East Rio Grande Avenue, and it's a free tour. And I'm going to tell you, it's really worthwhile because Max gives a wonderful tour, and Margaret Smith, who is a relative, has her own website and also has wonderful history on her family, the Trost Architects.
Two stations, numbers 3 and 10.
Right.
There you go.
And also, they've got the event coming up, which is the fair. Oh, Desert. Neon Desert Festival is coming up, and they're going to be projecting art of Trost buildings. And if you'd like to submit your artwork to be projected up on the buildings during that festival, you need to contact Melissa Grossman at melissa@texastrost.org, and your image may be projected up on the building during the festival. And then May 20th at 5 p.m., they're going to have a pub crawl, and it'll be, you know, on the Trost buildings. Again, you can contact Melissa at... And Melissa is MALISSA@texastrost.org and learn more about that pub crawl, which is May 20th at 5 p.m.
They're giving away mustaches.
Yeah, I know. Melissa's good. I believe.
Don't you need another mustache?
Yes, at Architecture, let's see. Max Grossman will be, Henry Trost will be appearing.
Oh, he jumps in character and stays there.
He does a good job.
You can mess with him.
All right, that's a lot of fun.
The Trost crowd's doing a lot for the history around here. We've got people on the phone, Fred and Ann. Now, don't go away, either one of you, if you don't get this, because we may have a second question. So, in order you call, it's Fred. Hey, Fred, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning. I got the answer to your question, I think.
All right. What's on your mind otherwise? Anything else?
The answer is 1921.
What question are you answering? Melissa, ask our question.
Okay, what year was the first U.S. military fort established in El Paso?
That's it. 1921.
That is not correct, sir.
Oh, no, it's way off.
But thank you for trying.
Thank you. Okay.
Call us next week. You take her easy. All right, going now to Ann. Ann's on the radio. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. I have an answer. I believe it's 1846.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
No. You're very close.
But
there's no cigar involved here. 544-5876. Call us up. Ann, I'm sorry, but that is not right. But check your history books. We'll let you know. And 544-5876, give us a call. All lines are now open. In fact, I tell you what. We'll give you the $20 of Pepe's and a DVD.
That's
three,
right.
3, 2, 1, the phone should ring. 544-5876. John Hamilton, you're surprised, aren't you?
I am surprised, somewhat.
Not only do you know the answer, but you gave it out several times.
Okay, you want the answer?
No, let's see if they want to call us the next 2 minutes.
All right. I will keep mum. I will be quiet.
But the thing is, the history of El Paso expands a lot of things and covers a lot of things, but one of the main things that was here to make El Paso is and was Fort Bliss. And it came and went, as you made in your discussion.
Yes.
It came and went several times. Because of whatever. Oh, the Indians aren't that big a deal anymore. Let's move the post over here.
Well, we had BRAC, base realignment closure. So
Way back in the day, yes. And
yes.
The fact was, though, by the way, and we're going to get a call put on the air right here. Who is this, Shelley? And there's another call coming in. I just need to hear one name. Somebody give me a name in the control room. Al, we got you on the radio. Good morning.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Hi, Al.
Hi, how you doing? The answer to your question, I believe, is 1843.
43?
Yeah.
What incident was that?
That was when they established it down there at the old Cinco Plaza right there.
No, that's the event, but that's not the right date. But thank you for trying. Who else we got, Shelley? Who's on 5? 5 is Vincent. Oh, is this the Vincent?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hey, Vincent, how's it going, dude?
I don't know who you consider the Vincent, but this is Vincent.
Well, no, I mean, if you answer the question, it's you.
Oh, okay. I'll go with 1849.
1849! Oh, what is going on in this world?
Wait a minute now. Are you going to give it to him?
I think according to something I was looking up, the order went out in 1848, but the establishment occurred in 1849.
There you go. Well done,
Vincent,
sir.
Vincent gets it.
Well done.
Because we were discussing that in the break room, because I found it as being 1848, but I was kind of corrected because it actually was, the post was put physically, they arrived in 1849.
September 14th.
So you're going to take that answer, aren't you, John Anderson?
Yes, I think we should accept that.
Okay, so I said it, man.
Vincent's numero uno.
You already get yourself a Pepe certificate, pick a DVD.
He goes to the front of the class.
He did. He gets a Pepe certificate a DVD.
Which DVD do you have?
We've got Smelter, Tom Lee's El Paso, Tapestry, Waco Tanks, MacGuffin Home, Mexican.
Which one of the Smelter?
Oh, the Smelter is the last tour of the El Paso Smelter. You see the stacks coming down. We had 20 cameras on the darn thing. We used 12 of them in the edit.
Yeah, I know. I watch that every now and then on YouTube. But I mean, it's really fantastic.
We got a better shot than you can see on
YouTube. See Godzilla pushing the stacks
down? No.
Not
Godzilla.
That one. I'm sorry.
I'll take the Smelter.
Smelter and a Pepe's. Shelly, he gets a Smelter and a Pepe's. And we've got somebody else on the phone. Well, thank you for playing. Hold on there, all right?
Thanks for listening, Ben.
Thank you very much. And who's left, Shelly? I need, who do I got left to talk to? Three or five? Three must be Mary. Mary, good morning. How you doing? Mary.
Hello?
Charlie.
Oh, Charlie.
We'll take Charlie.
We'll take Charlie.
If Mary looks like Charlie, that's your business. We got a question for you. You ready? Charlie, you ready for a question?
Charlie.
What happened to Charlie? Did he turn into Mary again? Who's on first? I need somebody
on second.
We just talked to Charlie.
I don't know. Who's on third.
What happened to Charlie, Sergio? So if you find Charlie, let us know. We're going to take a break. How about that?
Let's take a break.
Take a break. Come back in a minute. Call us up. Oh, Charlie is on what? What line? What line is that? What line is that?
Oh, there he is.
What line is that? That would be nice to know. Okay, three. Charlie, is that you, Charles?
That's me.
There he is.
We
connected. We lost you.
In the electronic world, you have a question for Charles.
Yes. Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
Who is Fort Bliss named for?
Oh, my God. You got to give all the names or enough of the names?
If you can get close.
Well, General Bliss.
Can you take that one?
We could take that
one. Was he a general?
He was never a general officer.
Oh.
He was.
Can you think of another rank?
Don't we want to make him give at least one more name?
I think so. I think we should.
The guy had more than one name. Bliss is easy. We told.
I remember.
It's not Aloysius.
And I can't pull it up to my memory at this point.
Would it be Wallace?
It could be.
Yes, you're right.
All right, well done.
Give him a DVD. We're going to give you a DVD because you guessed I was right.
Colorful man.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for ringing up. Hold on there, Charles. We'll tell you. We've got to give you a DVD first. What do you want to give Charles?
Which one would you like? We've got Tom Lee's El Paso.
Do Tom Lee's. Tom Lee's is
Tom
good.
Lee's. Let's go for Tom Lee's, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
You got it.
We talked him into it.
That is a rich DVD. It's really good.
Well, thank you. You are correct.
Oh, this is Charlie Hooten, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh,
hey.
That's Charlie. Hey. Oh, this isn't just any Charles.
I was with your niece last night.
Is that a good thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I'm good.
You never know around here. You know? But anyway, Charlie, you got yourself a DVD. Can you hold on? Anything else on your mind this morning?
I'm just hoping and praying that our leaders will see their way clear to preserve downtown historical buildings and just the feeling of the ancient history. I learned it's the only remaining Chinese building east of California is that Chinese laundry. We should have a Chinese cultural center and bring tourists from all over China. We're just sitting on a gold mine and doing the wrong things.
Yeah, they're trying to melt it and put it back in the river. I don't know why they're doing that. All right, Charlie Hooten, hold on here. You got yourself a DVD.
I appreciate it.
Tell Virginia hi.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hold on. But he gets a DVD, old Charlie does. Charles.
Charles.
How do you?
Newton,
how do you
former commissioner.
Yeah, so, county commissioner. How do you start out as Mary on the phone here? I don't. How do we get there?
I don't know.
I don't think I want
to
know.
Back to the news in a minute, but we got to do a commercial break here, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Sergio, are you ready for a commercial break? Oh, my God, yes.
You can check us out on Facebook, El Paso History Radio Show, and leave remarks with us there or questions.
We've got the man of the hour sitting here. Now,
yes,
that's his winter outfit, I will tell you that.
Yes, I'll put him in his spring, summer outfit.
You'll be okay either way, right, John?
Certainly.
You're cool. All right.
Absolutely.
Shall we take a break? Call us up if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-224-5353. That's 1-800-224-5353. 1-800-224-5353. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's Mother's Day Appreciation Weekend at Crawford Buick GMC. We've got flowers, mariachis, and fun surprises for all you wonderful moms. Plus free pony rides for the kids. At Crawford has drastically reduced the prices on every used car, truck, and SUV in our giant inventory. All brands, excellent prices, and fantastic financing options. Mothers, dads, daughters, and sons, if you didn't buy from Crawford, you paid too much. Mother's Day Appreciation Weekend. CrawfordBuickGMC.com, Montana and Airway.
Dad, slow down. We're not in that big of a hurry.
We have to be there by 7.
We'll be even later if we crash.
I'm not going that fast.
Faster than we need to.
You know, you're pretty wise for a 15-year-old.
Thanks, Dad.
Crashes are a leading cause of death globally, but driving the speed limit decreases your risk of a collision. Pledge your commitment to safe driving at togetherforsaferroads.org/pledge. Brought to you by Together for Safer Roads, companies driven to save lives.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Hey!
Easy.
iHeartRadio is the easy-to-use app for music and radio. The easiest way to get what you want. Listen to your favorite radio station from anywhere. Hear a song on the radio you love? Just tap and instantly download it to your phone. That's easy.
This is Angus Young from AC/DC on iHeartRadio.
Plus, creating playlists, also easy. iHeartRadio, the easy-to-use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app now.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, looking at Facebook, we got pictures going on up there. John Hamilton is up there looking cool. And also let you know about a bunch of museum info here. They've got the A to Z exhibit back up down there at the History Museum. Check that out, because it's the one that opened the museum 10 years ago. They put it back together, put it back in there, made it, they shined it up a bit. But now they also have the digital wall, www.digi.org. Check that out from your house and your internet. Or go down there and look at it. It's a wall you can play with. And May 15, 21, that week coming up this month, that's Celebrate International Museum Day at Digi. They have a big deal going on down there. Well, there's two other Digi walls, one in Copenhagen and one in Cairo. And so they somehow talk to all those people on that thing. So get a hold of them down there if you want to get involved. 212-0320, history.elpaso.gov. That's the El Paso Museum of History. What are you finding in your bag of tricks over there?
Well, I've got El Paso Corral of Westerners International number 26. We'll meet May 18th at the Country Inn and Suites at 99 Sunland Park Drive. And their program this month is a Westering family from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Los Angeles, California. And this is going to be given by Joe Tice Bloom. The program and dinner cost is only $20, and visitors are welcome, and you must RSVP to 759-9538 by May 15th, which is Monday. And then Concordia Cemetery will honor veterans of all wars on Monday, May 29th at 10 a.m. And the program is honoring forgotten veterans at Concordia Cemetery, and they will have the empty table ceremony. And again, this is going to be on Monday, May 29th at 10 a.m. And it'll be at the Buffalo Soldiers Memorial Monument. That's at the Stevens and Yandell entrance of Concordia Cemetery. And this is sponsored by the Roy Benavides and Robert Patterson All Airborne Chapter, which is the 82nd Airborne Division Association, and the Concordia Heritage Association. If you'd like more information, go to call 915-591-2326. That's a great event to go to. And it really is.
Well, that Buffalo Soldiers Memorial is one of the few around, and it's also a destination.
Yeah, you know.
Because those guys, when they ride motorcycles, they have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And so his is one of those somewheres
and
now on the map.
And the flags and the stones.
Well, it's appropriate. John Hamilton, it's appropriate. You had Buffalo soldiers all over the place.
Have you been out to that memorial yet?
Which one?
The Buffalo Concordia. Soldier Memorial at Concordia.
Yes, I have.
Yes.
Yes, it's very well done.
Yeah, one of the few that are actually outside of a military base in the United States.
Right.
So
it's a biggie there. Well, Buffalo soldiers were big because they came out of the Civil War looking for work. Got hired on by the U.S. Congress.
The Army formed four infantry regiments and two cavalry regiments. The four infantry regiments were eventually consolidated into two. And so you had the 9th and 10th Cavalry, and you had the 24th and 25th Infantry, of which some of those units were stationed here. And we had elements of the 9th here. We had elements of the 10th here that passed through. And we had elements of the 24th and the 25th that were here.
And there were Buffalo soldiers for a short time at Camp Concordia.
Yes. Oh, yes. 24th Infantry was there.
So that's kind of even nicer. The fact now they weren't buried. Those soldiers of that time period weren't buried at Concordia because this was way before that time.
Oh, yes. Much before the time. But the 10th Cavalry was in the Mexican Punitive Expedition, and they were at the ill-fated battle at Carrizal, and 23 of them were captured, and some of them were killed. Their history is a very, the Buffalo Soldiers' history is a very, very rich one.
Yeah,
we
do honor them at that Buffalo Soldier Memorial. We do have an honor to those that were killed in the Punitive Expedition.
I thought they weren't actually stationed here, but those units were stationed here.
Oh, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've got a picture of 24th Infantry soldiers at the International Bridge with two armored cars in 1919 preparing to go into Ciudad Juarez to try to run Pancho Villa out.
Huh.
It says last gasp, the last attempt to take Ciudad Juarez. And at that point, you had Brigadier General James Irwin, who was commanding here at Fort Bliss, and he was a no-nonsense World War I vet cavalryman. He was not going to put up with this, and when the bullets started coming across the border, that was that.
Yeah.
So we threw two regiments of cavalry across the border. We had engineers that threw pontoon bridges across the Rio Grande, and we put elements of the infantry and the 82nd Field Artillery into Ciudad Juarez, which sort of encouraged General Villa to withdraw. We will say that.
You know, that's an interesting story. That's something not many people know about. I mean, I've read just a little bit about it. And when you think about it, though, that is something. Now, were we invited by Mexico to do that? Or is that something we just did?
Decidedly not. We were not invited by the Mexicans to come in. There evidently was a contingency plan to do this because they did it right smartly. They were very quick to react and to execute this mission.
Under whose authority?
Under General Irwin's authority. Afterwards, well, I'm sure he informed the army that he was doing this.
I'm going.
But then after this...
By the way, you can call me from Mexico. I'll be over here.
But after this, the Carrancista commander in Ciudad Juarez immediately submitted a letter of protest to the United States through the consulate, protesting American soldiers' incursion into Mexico.
It's a bit of an invasion, wouldn't you think?
It was that, yes. Yeah. And, of course, you have to remember that the Carrancista commander would probably have been shot if he had prevailed.
What?
But so it could have been somewhat pro forma, but certainly was called for and would have been expected for the commander to do that.
Well, saving face.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was like that big a deal.
It's Mexican sovereign territory.
Sovereign territory and such. But they also weren't doing anything in that sense to protect our people, so you had to look at that.
Well, we knew that the Villistas were concentrating at certain places, and that included the Ciudad Juarez racetrack, which the 82nd Field Artillery fired on. And you could see the damage to some of the buildings from the artillery rounds for some years afterwards.
This is the one where they put the guns up on Pill Hill, what became Pill Hill.
Mm-hmm. And we have pictures of that.
Yes.
And I have a gun that's undergoing refurbishment right now with a case on that we will exhibit.
I talked to an eyewitness to that.
Ah.
Tom Lee, the painter.
Yes.
Was 12 years old when they put the cannons up above his house and started firing on Juarez. He decided to go up there and check it out.
Well, absolutely.
He was amazed.
Can you imagine the kids?
Well, here's the downside. At one point, they gave him some field glasses to watch it hit in Juarez. He watched a guy get hit and killed with a shell from up on Pill Hill.
Wow.
That was Tom Lee sitting there telling me that on camera. It's on an interview
sure,
with him.
Sure.
Bizarre stuff. All right, moving on to another break here. We'll do that. Facebook us if you like. John's looking at you there.
Yeah, I'm going to add a new, fresh picture of his spring-summer outfit.
His new outfit. Yes. He's got the old outfit on in there. Otherwise, call us up if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Hi, I'm Mark Israel, owner of Donut Plant. I used 80,000 points from my Chase Inc. business card to make the latest food craze, the Ripple Donut. Now it's making headlines. NYC's best, raves the New York Post. Donut Plant has outdone itself, says Spoon University. And Grub Street says it will light up your Instagram.
What will you create with your points? Visit chase.com/ink to learn more about Inc. Business Preferred. Chase for business, so you can.
Real business owner compensated for use of his actual statements. Credit cards are issued by Chase Bank USA, N.A. Restrictions and limitations apply.
I'm beginning to believe that other than love and religion, nothing changes your life more than moving your credit score 120 points. I'm John Hope Bryant, founder, chairman, CEO of Operation Hope, and we're working to expand and lift up your credit scores. Operation Hope is partnering with major financial institutions to bring hope inside to places where you shop and flock. Through the Hope 700 Credit Score Communities Initiative, we are helping people with free counseling, loan originations, modifications, and more. Go to OperationHope.org today.
This is Steven Tyler. When I wrote Janie's Got a Gun, I was amazed by the outpouring of love from fans. And I wanted to do more. That calling led me to start Janie's Fund. Janie's Fund supports proven programs for restoring lives rocked by abuse, conducted by national nonprofit Youth Villages. If someone you know is suffering from abuse, call the National Abuse Hotline at 1-800-422-4453. Lend your voice and your support by visiting janiesfund.org today.
Acme Home Insurance.
Yes, I'd like to make a claim.
What are you wanting to claim, sir?
My air conditioner broke down.
Sorry, but your home insurance doesn't cover air conditioner breakdowns.
So, what do you cover?
Home damage from things like earthquakes, volcanoes, a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse? But that'll never happen.
But if it did, you'd be covered, sir.
But not my air conditioner?
I'm afraid not.
But his air conditioner could have been covered with a home warranty from American Home Shield, plus components of 20 other major home systems and appliances, like his electrical system, plumbing, refrigerator, and more. For valuable free information, call 1-800-700-8303. Home insurance can cover what might happen.
Zombies are coming!
But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the dryer won't work.
Life happens. Have a plan. Get a home warranty from American Home Shield. For valuable free information, call 1-800-700-8303. That's 1-800-700-8303. 1-800-700-8303.
Little Caesars, where you can experience a meat lover's paradise with the half and half. A large deep dish pizza with pepperoni on one half and a three meat treat on the other. All for $9. It's hot and ready every day from 4 to 8 p.m. at Little Caesars. Plus tax at participating locations.
Of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, got radio going on here. Got to tell you about all kinds of things. You going to talk about the Apaches?
Yes, I am.
In that case, that's a good thing. What I want to talk about, I was going to talk about the Apaches too, but I'm not going to. What I'm going to tell you to do.
I want to talk about the Apaches.
No, don't even do that. I want to tell you to go join EPAS,
E-P-A-S. Go join EPAS.
El Paso Archaeological Society. That's EPAS.com. Go to the membership page. That's a good crowd to get involved in. You talk about history. That's ancient stuff, but right up to like, they stopped their museum out there right about when Oñate rolls in. But in the meantime, the archaeological history around here is really something. And the museum out there, EPAS has an office out at the Archaeology Museum out there on Trans Mountain Road. Anyway, EPAS.com. Get a hold of them. It's a good crowd.
Well, what we've got going today, and I wish I could make it, this is going to be a great presentation out at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. The lecture is The Apaches and Their Horses. This talk is being given by Denny Seymour, and it's out at the museum, which is on Trans Mountain Road. And this talk is an abbreviated history and historical anecdotes of horses among the Apache that addresses existing notions about the Apache and their horses. And this starts at 2 p.m. today, and I really suggest you get out there because a lot of history and lore about Apaches and their history with horses, a lot of people think that their lives didn't really start until horses came along, but the Apaches have a long, long history of war and such before the horses came along. So I think you'd be really surprised and to learn a lot because the Apaches have a great history. So get on out there, 2 o'clock today.
Also, John Hamilton, what did they do when they ran that horse 100 miles and they got to the other end of where they were going?
Well, if the horse wasn't broken down, obviously you kept riding it. But if the horse was rather broken down, then you could have lunch.
That's it.
Or dinner.
See, that's what a lot of people don't understand. They ate the horses.
Yes. Well, it was all part of the necessity and the reuse of the
As I have read, the spiritual connection that existed between the Plains Indians and their horses was not quite the same with the Apaches.
Yeah.
Different flavor.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You could say that.
I could say that.
Flavoring.
I did say that. John Hamilton's here. We're talking Fort Bliss. Got another hour of this. In the meantime, you have a short story before we go to break.
Well, George Patton, Jr., class of 1909, West Point, was assigned to the 15th Cavalry Regiment, and he had been away and doing some other things, and he managed to get himself assigned here, but the 15th Regiment was going to the Philippines for occupation duty in 1915, and he thought that the real action was going to be here on the border. So he finagled a transfer to the 8th Cavalry Regiment, which was almost unheard of, but he knew people in high places. So Georgie got here in 1915. He was sent out to with his troop out to Sierra Blanca for a while. He came back here. His wife and his kids came down from Massachusetts. And when they announced the punitive expedition, he had to go. Absolutely had to go. This could have meant a Medal of Honor. Absolutely. So he went to Pershing knowing Pershing, having known him, and asked to go, and Pershing said, everyone wants to go, why should I let you go? And he said, because I want to go more than anybody else. So Pershing said, that will do. So that's how he ended up as his temporary aide on the punitive expedition.
Well, oh,
did Patton get here the same year that Pershing did, which was 1914? They both got here the
Pershing
same year?
Pershing got here in 1914. Patton arrived in 1915.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so 1914. Okay.
Yes.
And what year did Fort Bliss become a mainly artillery post?
Mainly
1943 or so.
Yes, no, it was actually It started in 1940 when they brought in five regiments of anti-aircraft artillery. It was coast artillery. This is where the anti-aircraft artillery was part of.
Well, can we say 1943?
So yes, I think you can say 1943. By 1944, this was the anti-aircraft training post for the Army.
So basically, from 1940 to 1944 is when it all kind of happened.
Jumping back then.
Oh yeah.
Moving on to the next hour. Take the news in. Come back. Join us after the news with John Hamilton. Talking more about Fort Bliss. We haven't really gotten to the main part of the history yet, I don't think. See you then after the news.
See you then.
Take the news in. Come back.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.